This conference will now be recorded.
All right.
The recording has started.
Thank you, Steve. I will declare the meeting close enough here. We'll call the meeting to order. And first we will do roll call.
Councilman Nelson. Oh.
Here.
Andrew, Councilman Plowman.
Here.
Councilman Fagerly.
Here.
Councilman Osmus.
Here.
Audrey, did you want me to go through the other people that are listed or that are signed on as well?
Yes, we should do that.
Councilman Davis.
Here.
Councilman Alvarado.
May have to unmute.
Okay. Administrator Grommets, you said here. City Clerk Thompson.
Here.
Planner Swedberg.
Here.
And reporter Shelby from the West Central Tribune.
Here.
And Finance Director Olkins.
Okay, thank you, Steve. This is just a reminder that the meeting is recorded. We will ask you to mute your microphones if you are not speaking. And then if you do want to speak to the subjects, that you unmute them and ask to speak, and we will call on you. We will do a roll call on the votes so that there isn't confusion with that. So I am going to also add a public comment on there. And I don't know, Steve, would Doug like to speak at this time? Would that be easy for him, or do you want to wait until that agenda item?
I think if Doug is available, and Brian, you can weigh in on this if you would, we can maybe talk about item number 3D on the agenda, which is projects, financing, timing, and continuance. And that way, Doug would be able to leave the meeting earlier if you would choose to do that, if that's okay with the committee.
Is that all right with everyone? I'm seeing a thumbs up. So Brian, do you want to do an introduction to that before Doug talks?
Yeah, very short introduction. Most everybody here has received information that I had sent out earlier that kind of talks about where we find ourselves with the current economics. And there are some, I guess, you know, questions that are going to have to be dealt with by the city council. And the, you know, early on, probably 2-3 weeks ago, we talked about some of these challenges that we'll be facing, such as, you know, sales tax revenue being down, the, you know, continuing on with the design of the Invest in Wilmer projects and City Hall, and things such as delayed receipt of property taxes, local government aid maybe showing up a little bit later or potentially being reduced. And just general that the citizens may face unemployment, and that will impact their spending and also their ability to pay their property taxes. So having said all that, and putting that down into a briefing that I sent out to both Invest in Wilmer and the City Council, what I wanted to do was basically put everything on the table so that there are nothing's being hid, and so we can have a full opportunity to discuss all of the ins and outs of what's been going on economically and what the future might hold for us. During the same time, I've had discussions with Mr. Olkins. He has been in contact with our bonding people and also local lending institutions, and he can, you know, and he can update you on those conversations, as well as you know, Mr. Green being present this evening to kind of talk about how he sees the world. So with that, maybe I'll just kick it back to Steve, and then you can kind of maybe go into you know, what you've been hearing, and then we can hand it over to Doug.
Yes, as Brian mentioned, we've had a teleconference. It was actually last week with Bremer Bank and Baker Tilly in regards to what are the markets doing, what is the feasibility of selling bonds, and those types of items. Bremer Bank was invited. I see they haven't joined the meeting. We did inform them that it would be recorded, and they could watch that too. So that was a market that kind of changes day to day with things that are happening, and Doug can maybe talk to that a little bit as well. Bremer Bank has been the local lending institution that has stepped forward the last few years and have either bought or placed private placement of the city's street improvement projects for the last couple of years. So they've indicated that they are still willing to have discussions in that regards. Again, sometimes the details have to be worked out, but we just kind of wanted to reach out and see if there is a local interest, and if the market is even buying bonds with the magnitude and the level of financing that we have been looking at and planning up until the COVID-19 incident. So with that, we have with us tonight Doug Green from Baker Tilly. He's been the city rep for at least the last couple of years, and I will let him kind of give you his background and then maybe speak a little bit to what the market is doing at least today, and it may not be the same as it does tomorrow. So with that, Doug, if you want to make some comments.
Yeah, thank you, Steve. I am off mute. So over the past month, the municipal bond market has been very volatile, but it's never shut down. We've always been able to sell bonds one way or the other over the past month. Rates have gone up. They initially went up over 1% in a period of just a week, but they've started to come back down. And you know, when we think about the projects that we have going forward, we have your street projects that are, you know, typically a million or two. And those can be sold a lot of different ways. We can sell competitively, or local banks, like I would call them Bremer's a little bigger than a local bank, a regional bank, you know, they can take those on, whether they be 5, 10, 15, they'll even go out to 20 years. So when we think about these projects, we have to think of how big they are, and that's a relative term. You know, we'll call it anything under 5 million is on the smaller size. 5 million is, you know, getting up probably a little too big for, you know, local banks. And then we're looking at the sales tax projects, when we're looking at 25 to 30 million, you know, we can't place those with local banks. That's just too much for them to take on. So, you know, that's where we do have to sell those competitively through an underwriter. You know, they go out to the rest of the world and place those bonds and sell those bonds. So depending on the type of, in a typical market, general obligation with great credit rating like the city has, you know, these tax exempt investment vehicles, that's where they go. They just fly off the shelf. Maybe not so much right now, but if we were selling any of those today, the street bonds for a million or two, I would be confident we amortize those over 10 years, so it's not too long. We could get those sold. And then if we went out today for 25 million, you know, over 20 years with the sales tax bonds, you know, we might be a little more nervous than normal, but it would get done at very good interest rates. For instance, we sold City of Lawrence, Kansas, which is general obligation. It's both state tax exempt, just like Minnesota. It's double A, $6 million. So on that medium size, out to 20 years, which is, you know, kind of questionable in this market. And they got five bids. And all those bids were very close, which indicates, you know, a pretty efficient market. You know, you're not getting huge swings. If there's huge swings in the bids, then nobody really knows where the market is, and that's really not a good thing. So, you know, as of right now, I think we're in good shape to get financing if we need it. Just today, the Fed finally announced they're going to start buying a short-term paper under I believe 5 years, or is it two, just of the largest issuers. But what that does is that also helps to stabilize the market a little bit. And so we'll be watching it over, you know, just daily and keep you updated. But right now, you know, as you're doing your planning, I would say that shouldn't, of all the things that should keep you up at night, the ability to access the capital markets and get financing for all these different projects is not one of them. So.
Doug, this is Brian. While we are splitting some of these Invest in Wilmer projects probably over 2 years or at least two different sales, I'm hoping the later sale will be easier than probably this initial sale, but we're still talking about fairly large dollar figures. You know, we're not talking 5 million. You know, if we were to do everything at once this year, we'd be looking for like $43 million. So split that over two years, you know, we're into 20 some million dollars, you know, kind of a thing. So I just point that out, that it's over five, but yet, you know, we're talking about maybe 2 years worth of bonding.
Right. And maybe I should have, even last week, we sold $90 million of NOCA Hennepin School District general obligation. So to the market, 25-30 is still not that big when you were selling them competitively to national underwriters. That would even be on the small size. So, you know, I think we're still safe.
So
25
Doug, million
is not a problem.
So Doug, Audrey Nelson, I'm just trying to understand with the local option sales tax bonds, my understanding that we would be pledging the tax that we're able to receive to make those payments. So in light of where that revenue is right now, what would we have to do as a city of Wilmer to pledge if the revenue from the local option sales tax bonds isn't there to cover the debt?
Yeah, very, very good question. Now, they are sales tax and they're paid for with sales tax revenue, which is has just completely fallen off the cliff. And we don't know where it's going, but keep in mind, these are general obligations. So a potential investor, an underwriter investor, you know, whether you pay for them with electric, water, sewer rates, or even sales tax, what they really want is that general obligation pledge of the city. In this environment, yeah, they might take another look at the fact that sales tax are supposed to pay for them, but where that is going to affect the city, and it's just going to affect the calculations, is in the credit rating. So Moody's will take their, will do their calculations, and they'll say, you've had a history of sales tax collections, and if they think that the city might have to make up the difference with property taxes, they'll simply just add a portion of that onto, you know, their quote-unquote debt ratios. You know, that they won't assume 100% of the sales tax, general obligation sales tax bonds are going to be paid for with property taxes, but they'll make a determination, and maybe that possibly a portion will be. And again, that will just go on to their debt calculations, which goes into the overall credit rating. Now, you know, that's just one small part. So again, I wouldn't be concerned that that's going to have a, you know, huge impact on the credit rating at all. But so the answer to your question is, it's certainly a consideration, but like I said, the potential underwriters and investors really just care about that general obligation pledge.
Audrey, I have two comments.
Yes, go ahead, Steve.
The two comments that I have are basically when we're looking at debt and having conversations are that the ability to sell and borrow the money, which I think Doug has been answering, it is kind of day to day, but there probably is definitely a possibility to place it and or negotiate sale it. The second part always is then the ability to repay that debt once you've been able to borrow the money. So those are just the two comments that I'd like to add.
All right. Is there anyone else who wishes to ask Mr. Green a question? Steve, do you see anyone that wishes to speak?
No, all the mics are on mute.
Okay. All right. Brian, do you have any other comments or questions for Doug?
No, and I will apologize. I jumped in without asking permission. My
sincerest
apology, Audrey.
No, that's great. No, I very much appreciate you being here, and I know we've got some difficult decisions and discussions to have regarding that. And so and I know you're working with Steve on a regular basis. So I would just say thank you and thank you for joining us tonight for your comments.
I'm right here 24/7. I'm not going anywhere. So All right. I did see some future agenda items that you know, maybe of interest to me, but Steve, if you could just tell me if, and I'll go back and listen to the recording.
Okay, Doug, and I will be in contact with you and Kathy, as well as I know Bremer has indicated they may be watching the tape or the video as well.
Okay, perfect. Thank you very much.
Doug, you are more than welcome to stay if you want, but we were willing to put you up front here so you didn't have to spend your whole evening with us. So thank you.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that. I'll go see what the kids are doing, if they're doing their homework upstairs. All right. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks. Bye. All right. We do not have any other public comments, I don't believe. So we will move on to the action items. And the first item is the statutory municipal liability coverage limits. And I understand that Judy Thompson is going to be taking that. So go ahead, Judy.
Yes, hi, everyone. As you know, each year we have to renew our liability insurance with the League of Minnesota Cities. And part of that renewal is to approve our statutory tort limits that they said. And it's our recommendation. There's like three choices, and we have always chosen the first option, which is the city does not waive the statutory tort limits. So by choosing that, you know, there's no changes that would happen for the next year. And we would recommend that you go along with that again this year.
I'll make a motion that
all right.
Go with what we've had in the past. Number one.
Second.
Ms. Julie made a motion and Andrew has made a second. Is there any further discussion on the just getting there to the right thing here? To approve the resolution to adopt the municipal tort limits at 500,000 for claimant and 1,500,000 for insurance. Any discussion? All right, we'll ask Mr. Go ahead, Julie.
I probably asked this before, but is there any reason we would go with the additional? And is there any other communities that do that, and why would they?
I'm not aware of what other communities use or do, I guess, or any reason to change. This has worked out well for us, and there's no additional money costing the city. If you change options, we'd be looking at more financial responsibility.
Audrey?
Go ahead.
Yeah, that's what it really boils down to, is if you don't waive the statutory tort limits, your insurance premiums are going to go up dramatically because you went from $500,000 to $2 million that somebody could claim on you. So by aligning yourself with the state statute, we're in sync with the world, so to speak.
It is kind of just an interesting option. So I appreciate the question, Julie. So, all right, is there any further discussion? We'll ask Steve to do the roll call.
Councilman Plowman.
Aye.
Councilman Fagerly.
Aye.
Councilman Osmus.
Aye.
Councilman Nelson.
Aye.
Four ayes.
That motion.
Yep.
Thank you, Steve. That motion carries. We'll move on to the next action item, which is reapportionment of special assessments. And if I understand correctly, that's going to Sarah.
Yes. So before us, we've got the reapportionment of special assessments for properties located at 908 and 910 15th Street Southwest. The purpose for this is that there was a replatting of this property. It's one home that exists. It's currently a two-family home, and it will now be, the plat has all been approved by Planning Commission and City Council for that to be split along that property wall or common party wall, so that there can be ownership for each unit instead of it being rented out. There is an existing special assessments amount of $3,989.25 on that property, and it will be split between the two. One will have one penny additional, so in the amount of approximately $1,994 and some change for each property. So it would be staff recommendation for that to adopt a resolution for this reapportionment.
Right. Would someone like to make that motion?
So moved.
Thank you, Andrew. Thank you, Julie. So we have a motion and a second to adopt a resolution to reapportion the special assessment for the Paffrath subdivision as requested. So is there any discussion on that? Seeing none, I will ask Mr. Oakens to do the roll call.
Councilman Fagerly.
Aye.
Councilman Osmus.
Aye.
Councilman Nelson.
Aye.
Councilman Plowman.
Aye.
Four ayes, zero nays.
Thank you, and that motion passes, and we will go on to our third action item, which is 1017 media contract. And Sarah, you're doing that one also, correct?
Correct. All right, so switching my hat onto Main Street here. We have been approached, the Wilmer Main Street Board would like to enter into a contract with 1017 media, and what 1017 media does is work with local businesses and organizations to help with websites and social media and all sorts of different things in that world. And the board has worked with them on a couple of projects in the past, and we have seen the kind of fruits of that partnership. And what we would like to do is expand that partnership so that we have kind of a monthly quota, if you will, of what they will put together for us. We at Wilmer Main Street has their own website separate from the city's website, as well as our own social media channels. But because we don't have one sole dedicated person for Main Street that has full staff hours for that time, entering into a contract like this and really putting all of that, taking all of that social media and website work onto this third-party contractor takes a huge, huge role off of my plate as the kind of coordinator of the program, while also while not having to give up all of the benefit that we get from that work. And so this would be entering, it's all in our budget. The board had approved this as part of our regularly approved budget that you had seen a month or so ago, I think. So as part of this package, they would put together, it's at the end of the contract. There we go. There'll be probably about 10 to 15 different posts. We'll create a couple of videos every month, and then there'll be some additional photography content creation and website work to keep everything up to date. We've seen a lot of really great engagement just in the month or two that we've kind of had some test runs of things with them posting for us and doing all of that content creation so that staff really isn't spending much time at all on any of that work. So all of that will be put together for $1,250 a month. The contract can be broken with a 30-day notice if our needs aren't met or our expectations aren't met, but the intent would be to hold this contract for approximately a year. So we're looking for adoption of a resolution to authorize the mayor and administrator to enter into that contract.
So moved.
All right. All right. Thank you, Andrew.
Second.
Is there a second? Thank you, Julie. All right. Is there any further discussion? I see Andrew.
Thank you. You said the initial duration of the contract was 12 months.
Correct.
At $1,250 per month, $15,000 total?
Yep.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Any other questions? I did see that that was in your budget. So go ahead, Julie.
Just for clarification, I did kind of look through the contract a little, but is there specific benchmarks that they have to achieve for what are you measuring for acceptable performance?
You know, we didn't put specific benchmarks in there for like how much interaction on social media we're getting. We put in more the benchmark of we want X amount of content created and, you know, so many social media posts and so many minutes of video created, those kind of benchmarks in there instead, because it's so much of that changes by the week. And right now that flexibility of being able to say we want to generate, you know, 10 social media posts but have this grant kind of from Rethos come out relatively quickly that we need to push out and promote has provided us some flexibility to just shoot off that same communication to them, and that becomes the content for the next week or two in some of those posts. So but we've seen a dramatic increase in our interactions on social media just because of the consistent posting that we're able to achieve by having them in place.
So is there a ballpark of what the expectation is for how many like hours a week that they're putting in, or what for the month for the 1200?
Yeah, so it's kind of whatever it takes. The social media, or no, not the social media, the website work and the video content, or photography shooting and the website content is about 4 hours total. And then the videos to create 2 4-minute videos is probably several more hours. And then that doesn't go into account for all of the content, the other content created for those social media posts. So, I think it came out to be about $75 an hour, if I'm recalling correctly. And that's pretty typical.
All right, Andrew, I saw you wanted to ask.
Thank you, Audrey. Thanks, Sarah. You mentioned earlier that doing this was going to take a bunch off your plate. So I assume that was alluding to the fact that you were highly involved with a lot of this media content and creation and posting and whatnot before, or maybe you and
as far as the video portions of it, were you doing that editing yourself or was RAC helping with that or what?
Yeah, we kind of did a joint effort, but if you look back at, you know, the posts over last year, for 1 year's total, probably equaled about what they were, what they have been for the first 3 months of this year. It was very sporadic and kind of few and far between, just because it wasn't a priority, couldn't be a priority on my plate. And so without having to sacrifice just taking all of that away, we're able to kind of elevate it and also get some extra hours behind all of that work.
Okay, yeah, and I'll just throw my opinion in there because I hire this stuff out privately quite often, and I'm used to paying about $100 to $125 an hour for this type of work. So $75 an hour seems like a good rate to me.
Yeah, and then what's been really positive about pursuing this contract is this particular company has done some of these projects with us from the very beginning of the city taking over Wilmer Main Street and Artists on Main Street and some of these different projects we've had. So they really, they capture the essence of kind of the purpose of the program. And so they're able to really portray that through all of the different content that they're creating and help us generate ideas of what else we could be posting and different things like that.
Okay, thank you. Rick, did you have a question?
Yeah, I was just going to say that's a pretty reasonable hourly wage. And this gentleman, he does it as a part-time job because he is a teacher, but he deals very well with the public and young kids. So I would imagine he has a good following. So it's a
yeah,
good move.
Absolutely.
All right. Is there any other questions regarding this? If not, we will look for a roll call to adopt the resolution authorizing the mayor and city administrator to enter into the media 17 or the 10-17 media agreement. Sorry about that.
Councilman Osmus.
Aye.
Councilman Nelson.
Aye.
Councilman Plowman.
Aye.
Councilman Fagerly.
Aye.
4 ayes, 0 nays.
All right, thank you. That's our 3 action items. And we will now move into the discussion items. And the first item is the first quarter investment cash report. And I will turn it over to Mr. Okuns.
Thank you, Chairman Nelson. Everybody should have received an email, and I apologize for this information. And we did update the packet on the website as far as the schedule that that we have. And that is actually past the first quarter, and then try to give it as up to date as possible. Also, what was sent out to the council or the committee and the council was an email and conversations just kind of reflecting on what the market is doing based on conversation with Wells Fargo, who is one of the city's brokers. We also deal with Bremer Bank, multi-bank securities, and those are in UBS, which is another broker. The strategy has been based on what the market has been doing is to keep number of dollars back into money markets just to make it as liquid as possible. The money markets, as you see on the list, were actually better, and the rates are changing, as you saw in the email, daily. So the money markets are changed weekly, and so they do lag a little bit behind. But the strategy also is to not go out any farther than 12 months to 24 months. All indications are that hopefully this will turn around in the next 12 months and that rates will start going up. The curve on 1 to 2 year investments are basically the same. So to obligate it for 2 years just seems not a wise choice at this time. So with that, I'd be able to answer any questions anybody may have.
All right. Is there any questions for Steve on the first quarter investment cash report? All right, I don't see any. Steve, do you want to go on to the first quarter general fund operating?
Again, there was a email sent out which had the capital improvement attached that was approved. That email talked about, and Brian alluded to this early in the presentation when we were talking about the borrowing capabilities of concerns or possibilities that we are continually monitoring and following. The first quarter is always a kind of early indication. A lot of programs and revenues are seasonal based a year. Brian alluded to a number of the items that again, I'm getting some feedback.
You're cutting in. Yeah.
Okay, I don't know if this is better or not, but the email indicated that again, and if I cut out Brian, maybe I'll have to jump in, but the revenues that we are monitoring would be the property tax collections, which are 36% of our general operating revenues. Licenses and permits, building permits actually are holding their own, and there's a number of activity going on. Intergovernmental revenue, there's uncertainty there on our local government, just trying to figure out what the state is going to do. Audrey, is that feedback coming from me or from you? There, let's try that for a minute and see if that helps. Service charges are going to be, at this point, we are anticipating those being short, primarily because of the Civic Center, Aquatic Center, and recreational programs that are either lagging behind, delayed, or maybe even canceled, as a number of cities are experiencing. Fines and forfeits are short due to impounding and the traffic being down, and just it's not a large ticket item overall, but it's a category that we kind of look at. Miscellaneous revenues, the primary one there that I've talked to was the interest projections. As we talked about, the investment portfolio rates are not anywhere close to what we are projecting. We had projected 2 to 2.5%, and we're lucky if we can get 1%. So as they call the investments that are in the 2%, give or take a quarter of a percent, because we had one called at 1.75%, those interest earnings will be less. And then the other financing sources we projected on the intergovernmental transfer from the MUC that at this point in time, we don't feel that there will be any delays there, but that possibly could be affected with the shutdown as well. That talks a little bit about the revenues. The expenditure side, I just wanted to point out that personal services are about 72% of our operating costs of the general fund. And then the transfers, which are primarily our capital and our payment subsidy for the airport, is in the tune of about 1.7 million. And there's a number of projects that have not been started. But the two major ones I wanted to point out that we kind of shifted at the last minute in the budget process was the Swanson Lights at 315,000 and the auditorium at 485,000. So that's about $800,000. We've sent an email out to the department directors asking them for updating us on status of all capital projects. And again, I listed in that email a number of different charter sections that talk to different authorities that the council and the mayor has as it relates to budgets and the contingency reserve and any kind of reduction of appropriations or transfer of appropriations. And that is basically just kind of pointing out those areas that we will be looking at as we move forward. The PowerPoint presentation that was included on a separate email. Again, the revenues that I talked about were the general property taxes. Again, that comes in twice a year. And the intergovernmental transfer you'll see there are the two large ones that, again, comes in twice a year. So we'll be watching that. That's usually the end of June. There's been no indication of unallotment on the local government aid. That's always a possibility if the state finds itself shortfall, but there's a number of areas. There's been no indication of that at this point. And the other revenues I did mention, and then each department that you see listed there, we do monitor. First quarter would be on a normal year would be 25%. There's the memberships on mayor and council. You'll notice that is almost 41%. That's our memberships in the League of Minnesota Cities and the Coalition of Greater Minnesota Cities. The league's membership is very beneficial in regards to our insurances and those types of programs. The one that shows zero there is a billing from the county for assessing. That's per an agreement. No other comments really under the on the first page of the expenditures. The second page of expenditures under public safety, that was our safety program that we had for employees. That's why that is showing at about 57%. And the transit transfer and the other are incidental, so no additional comments there. The third page of the expenditures, again, we should be at about 25%, and they're basically all falling in line. And again, I talked to the personnel services costs are at about 76% of our costs. So first quarter, we really don't see a lot of changes. Public Works is okay because we really didn't have any major snowstorms. The police department calls for services, I believe, are probably, if not down, they've been shifted from traffic over to other types of, and Julie maybe knows about this, home type calls that they get. So then the final page there on the waste treatment plant, again at 25%, but we do lag behind on our collections and stuff from the municipal utilities. And so that too, again, there's really no comments that I have, but I'm willing to answer any questions that anybody has, or if there are additional reports, formats, or anything like that, that would help the council stay on top of or know what the current statuses are, I'd be more than willing to formulate those and provide them at our next meeting.
Brian, do you have any additional comments to any of the reports here?
No, I think Steve is correct. You know, we're just getting into the year, not seeing anything major. You know, one of the items I will just emphasize, and Steve mentioned it, was that, you know, personal services is a large part of every government. It's the labor to provide the services. You know, we have so many gallons of diesel we buy, you know, so many yards of asphalt, but the largest item on our plate basically is labor and those things associated with employing people. So nothing surprising here. Wilmer is no different than any other city in that it's such a large part of the budget. So we'll you know, we'll probably not see a reduction you know, in the April information as we go forward, since we are trying to continue employing you know, the workers and bringing them in you know, to work, whether on site in shifts or remotely. So that will continue to be a part of our budget, and if anything pops up different than that, we will by all means you know, alert both I think the Labor Committee and Finance.
Thank you, Brian. Anybody have questions of Ms. Drilkins? Julie?
Yes. I'm not seeing in there IT expenses. It seems to me like we should have had some unplanned expenditures because of all the new remote working. I'm thinking we had to purchase some laptops and iPads or whatever. Where is that being reflected?
Audrey, do you want me to take that?
I can add to it, Brian, too, after you're done.
Okay. Yeah, we had to acquire many laptops. And when I mean many, you know, it's probably under, you know, 14 or something like that. But we went through waves of who needed them. And so we had two waves come through. And to be quite honest, those bills haven't showed up yet to be sure. It's, you know, they just happened within the last, you know, 2 weeks. So number one, it won't be reflected in the reports until, you know, the end of this month or even next month, and will be included in the reports for the first or the second quarter. But then secondly, we're also hoping with the declaration of an emergency at both the federal and the state level that these items would qualify for reimbursement. No guarantees at this point, but we're operating under the assumption and we're accounting for them appropriately so that if an opportunity presents itself, we don't have to go back through all the reports and the bills and drag this stuff out. All the department heads have been given the accounting code so that it's all found in one location. So hopefully that answers your question.
If I could just add to that, the accounting code, as Brian alluded to, we had that discussion when the emergency was declared, and that's being run through the non-departmental, the general government non-departmental category. So that the operational budgets, again, if it's a direct or directly related to or cause of COVID-19, the departments are all charging it to that non-departmental code. Again, with the hopes that if there is funding or reimbursement, that we would have that all in one place and be ready to submit any kind of paperwork that we would need to do. And then if there is reimbursement, we would then probably run that through. We have a refunds and reimbursements in the general operating that would offset that.
Brian and Steve, I'll just ask the question differently with that. Is there anything else that we should be doing? Were we able to resolve the technology issues to allow the people who wanted to work at home to work at home?
Yeah, Audrey, this is Brian. I believe we've got a fairly good handle on the staffing IT equipment. There may be a few things that pop up that we need to, you know, add to the fleet, if you want to call it that. But generally speaking, I think those that can work from a remote site are working at a remote site right now. So we should be fairly well situated in that respect. We are, I guess, learning as we go. And there are some things that, you know, we may want to, you know, purchase as we go forward. I did have a discussion with, you know, IT supervisor, and he's acquired a software program that will help us with public input, like at a public hearing. It's set up much similar to a radio station. When they go caller number five, you're on the air kind of a thing, where they would call into a location, present their name, who they are, and what their purpose is, and then they will be set up in a queue then for them to be heard in a digital council meeting. So as we go day by day, we're just finding new little things that we're going, oh, never thought of that. So we'll have to address that. So there will be some things that we have to, you know, acquire, but I think we're fairly well situated right now. I don't know, Steve, if you've got anything to add.
The only thing that I would add to that is that I know finance is working with IT, and there's a number of programs, primarily payroll, where we're working with staff right now to change schedules so that they come in because they can't do that at home. But we're working with IT to get that VPN capability. So that would be at some point in time be able to be done as well. The financial accounts payable would be the other primary item where we have to do that in-house or in the office. But we're working with staff and being flexible of when they can work from home, they are working from home. And then the schedule will work where they're not all here at the same time.
Audrey, I might add for the benefit of everybody else here that sometimes it's not been the hardware problem, it's been the software. Down in engineering, we had one license for, I believe it's AutoCAD, and you send three people to go home to work and you only have one license. So IT then did acquire a multiple use license so we can download them onto the laptops and send them home to work remote. So not everything is hardware. Some of it is software that we found out that, yeah, we're not really situated real well to deal with going home. But after this, we've got a steep learning curve. And if anything else that comes out of this, it will be better prepared in the future.
All right, thank you very much for those comments. Does anyone else have any other questions on the general fund operating report and other comments that Steve made? Hearing none, we will go on to the next item, which is the local option sales tax update.
Audrey,
are you going to take that?
Yep. Brian,
or do you have something else?
I'll make some comments if I can, and then Brian, if you want to add to them. This is basically a email again that went out to the council, the committee, and the local option sales tax invest in Wilmer Group. It was an update on where we are and the process that timelines that kind of delay when we are getting information. And we are working, as we've talked about in the past, with Candiway County to try to determine where outside of Wilmer the county is collecting additional tax. The collections are lagging behind where the committee had projected them to be. With the these are actually for October, November, December collections that were in the email. We were at 71% of what the projections were and are collecting about 63% of what the county is collecting with the same rate. And so we continue to work with the Department of Revenue and the county to try to determine if these numbers are correct. We are anticipating a reduction even further based on the stay-at-home directions that are or have been given and extended to May 5th. And we'll be getting that information again, the lag time of when we actually get those, as well as an email was forwarded on where the Department of Revenue has extended the March payments to May 20th. So with that, Brian, if you've got anything to add to that, we certainly can gather more information and provide it to the council when it becomes available.
Audrey, may I continue?
Yes, go ahead, Brian.
Having not been here, you know, when the early projections of what we had anticipated for sales revenue, you know, we're, you know, I had no input into that, but obviously it's of a concern because I believe it's lower than what expectations were. The roughly 63%, 65% in that area for another county and another city to which I won't name at this point in time, that is near and dear to where my house is located. We are in Brown County and New Ulm at the same rough 63-65% city to county, same ratio. And so when we brought that information back to Steve and reported that, seeing the numbers, you know, weren't you know, severely shocking. I think what was shocking was how much retail sales occur outside of Wilmer that you know, obviously we're not aware of. And so one can only hope that the increased sales of toilet paper and all other goods that were acquired prior to 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago might give a little bit of surge. But I agree with Steve. I think sales will be down. And from what I've been hearing on the economists on the news basically all day today is that it is not anticipated this will be a sharp down, sharp up sort of rebound, and that they're thinking this is going to be a sharp down and a 2 year rebound. And so with that, I think we just need to keep that in mind when we anticipate the sales tax revenues. When it comes time to approving projects and bonding for them to make sure that we've got enough revenue to cover. And as stated earlier, you know, I know the city council will have to have that discussion about how much is the general obligation, the general taxpayer going to potentially pick up should revenues fall. Obviously there's, you know, if you said 1%, then maybe that wouldn't be that big of a hardship. But, you know, 30% might be. And that's totally within the council's discretion to decide how much we do and how much we sell for bonds and base it upon some, you know, some as good a numbers as we can probably have at the time. So it's a work in progress. And there'll obviously be more discussions on this topic. Yesterday, with the our Invest in Wilmer group, there was a discussion about how are we going to pay for these things given the current situation we find ourselves in, and the decision there was the Invest in Wilmer group's role is to look at the projects, forward them on if they meet the criteria that they were set out to create, and let the decision on how to finance them up to the city council. That's your role. And in the end, we'll see how this all plays out.
Audrey, could I add to that?
Go ahead, Steve. And then Andrew, I saw you wanted to speak too.
Brian, if you maybe could also add, I know that I had some comments before the meeting started about we are having conversations with the construction managers and architectural engineers as far as timelines of where their agreements are and the signing of them and at what stages are we expecting, so we can do some cash projections and see how that may play into the collection of the tax as well. So I don't know if you have anything to add to that or for that.
Yeah, I'll just mention that I've contacted everyone, and those that are in the construction industry will know that 80% of the architect's cost is upfront before you even put a spade in the ground. And about 90% of the construction manager's cost are after you put the spade in the ground. So when we start looking at the contracts that we have agreed to enter into, we're putting them into sequence, where if you say, well, let's get all the projects to plans and spec stage and not go out to bid until we know more. I'm just gonna throw a number out there, Steve. We haven't really gotten all the data yet, but if you add up all the contracts, we were pushing $4 million. But yep. If you lay them out, the construction manager versus architect, I believe we'll probably be in the $2 million area. So if we collect $2 million in local option sales tax as we go through the design phase, we'll have that paid for. And then the city council then can decide, when do you want to pull the trigger and bid the projects out? And, you know, we can be 18 months to 24 months down the road when that decision's made, you know, and that's just a ballpark, you know, kind of guess. So at this point in time, I think we'll have the money needed to get to the full design plans and spec stage. And if that's a decision the council wants to pursue, you know, we can get there, I think, with just with what the revenues are that are coming in right now. So, and Andrew, if you wanted to, or Audrey, if you want to turn it over to whomever else that's I'll be willing to answer any questions. I think Julie had.
Actually, Andrew had his hand up here. We'll let Andrew. Julie, you want to go after?
That's fine.
Thank you, Audrey. Thank you, Brian. Yeah, the local option sales tax discussion is going to be a big one. I mean, there's no way around it. There, we got some pretty sobering information yesterday, but there might be a couple silver linings. Before I dive into that, I want to ask a quick question regarding what was sales tax revenue projections and a potential reasoning for that revenue to date being underneath. I had read a report, and Steve, you can maybe comment on this, or Brian, if you've heard anything. I had dug into it a little bit, and I read a report about, I know a while back we made an amendment to what we were doing, and that would allow for online sales tax reciprocity or something along that line. And I had read that in other communities was causing a delay because the states were getting backed up in collecting that reciprocal money and getting it back to the municipalities. Have you heard anything about that? Or is it a possibility?
Audrey, if I could speak to that.
Go ahead, Steve.
Andrew, the change that we did was twofold. It was to deal with the item and the reciprocity with other states, and it was to allow the state to collect our vehicle excise tax. Those were the two changes of why we did the ordinance. In regards to other states, we have been in contact with the Department of Revenue to see if there's been any changes. I guess I didn't ask that specific question, but I certainly will do that and pass that on to the council when I get a response from them to see if that is causing a delay in collections. I mean, it certainly could be one of the factors that their processes haven't changed, but that might account for some of the lagging behind of the revenue coming in. I will check on that and get back to the council.
Okay, thank you, Steve and Audrey, if I may continue.
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, that would actually be, I think, a potential positive if we found out that maybe there was some delay in that, as other areas have seen, that would increase some of that revenue. But also, as I had talked yesterday to a couple of the local option sales tax people, both during and after the meetings that were taking place, a lot of people were feeling down, and they were feeling kind of doom and gloom regarding the numbers that we were seeing, the bids and the estimates that were coming back, and then also knowing what's lying in front of us in terms of sales tax revenue. And I had to remind a couple of people that, yeah, we are pretty confident that sales tax revenue is going to go down. However, when it comes to construction estimates, near term, I think they're fairly accurate. However, going out further, and all of those estimates are based on past numbers. They're not based on current numbers and what's been bid out. And what we're seeing in the construction industry as a whole is that numbers are holding tight inside of like 3 to 4 months, but going out 6 to 9 months, we're starting to see substantial drops in terms of cost for manufactured goods, for example, because the cost of fuel has gone way down. Overhead and whatnot for a lot of these companies, they're projecting is going down. So the industry as a whole is kind of saying, specifically the athletic field construction industry, because that's the one I can speak to the best. They're kind of saying short term, we got to be where we were, but long term, we don't know where it's going to be, but we want as much work as we can get. So we're going to be as competitive as we can be. General consensus is that bids up front, like if we were bidding these projects out right now, they'd be coming back with numbers that we were seeing towards the end of last season. However, bids that come back 4 to 6 months from now could very well be down in the double digits of percentages. So that may be the silver lining to all of this and something to keep in mind and something to watch too. And that's it for me.
Go ahead, Julie.
Okay, just so that I clearly understand, the $854,000 that was collected from the county for October, November, and December, given that was the holiday shopping season, is that their normal, or were they behind as well, or was it just our projection that was 63% of what we thought it would be? And then my second question is, when you say somebody's looking into it, is there a possibility that there was a miscalculation that we might get some back, or what's the opinion on that?
Audrey, if I could answer that to some degree.
Go ahead, Steve.
Julie, attached to the email also were the spreadsheets that the state sends out to the county as well as the city. There is always a startup period from what the state is saying. And so the county had the same experience that the city did in the first month or two, where the collections from the retailers were less than maybe what they were. And this kind of speaks to what Andrew was asking about on collections from outstate vendors as well. It takes a while for them to get their systems up and knowing that they have to collect the tax. And so the county's tax delayed as did the cities in the beginning months, because the retailers had to get their systems up and going. That usually gets caught up, and at a minimum would always be brought current upon an audit of a vendor. The history has been where that does get corrected, or that corrects itself. In your question to the $854,000 that the county collected for the same period last year, actually, again, if you look at that spreadsheet, and I'm not sure if I included it back to when the county started or not, or if I just included it back to where it compared to the cities, is that the months of and we've done some charts that we'll provide to the council, and Brian has seen these too, where we looked at our last sales tax from 2006 to 2012, and there are certain months that stand out over others. The months in July, August, prior to school starting are large months, again, as well as maybe November, December. So there are peaks and valleys, and I don't think that the $854,000 that the county collected, that theirs were lagging, because they had already been in the system for about a year and a half. And so ours, being the first 3 months of the process, probably are a little lower than what they actually will turn out to be once the correction gets made. I hope that answers your question. I guess the final comment would be is that
Julie does.
If you look at the 3-month comparison of the city and the county, theirs would be naturally higher because their system had been in place, and ours would be a little lower than what it normally would be because it was starting up.
All right. Are you good with that, Julie?
Yep. I guess I was just wondering if the county had saw a without having that graph in front of me, if this given those months of October, November, and December, if they had an increase, and for us to have such a lower projection, and I'm sure you guys hashed this all out at the local option sales tax meeting yesterday or last night, but that should, you know, that should have been our big sales time, and to be lower, that's, it's just concerning. I can see why they left probably a little deflected, but maybe we got to wait 3 more months and see how the next quarter goes, but then all this COVID stuff's going to come into play, so it's still not going to be normal.
That was one of my questions, is when do you think we will see the next month's figures? I mean, you've had this one through December, but do you have any indication for January or February?
Audrey, we just received today the reconciliation amount for January's collections. And the total is going to be about $153,000. So it has dropped again for the month of January. As these reports get out and we get the reconciliations, we will be able to start generating these reports to the council on a more frequent basis. So as soon as we get those, which I explained in the email, that it usually takes 2 months after the actual collections in order for the state to reconcile everything. We will distribute that to the council and to the Invest in Wilmer group as a monthly report.
Okay, thank you, Steve. The other one, I was just going to go back, Brian. If I heard you correctly, you believe that we will have enough local option sales tax dollars in cash to cover our expenses for our architects and our construction manager at risk, correct? Is that what you said?
Here we go. Yes, Audrey, if we continue on with an average of $150,000 a month in 12 months time period, that's about $1.8 million. So that's roughly $2 million. And we would then, in essence, we'll have financed all of the design phase plans and specs, stopping at the bidding stage, just holding off on advertising. So yeah, it's going to be close. So whether it's 13 months or 12 months, in the first year, if the 150 a month keeps coming in, we should be very close.
So part of my reason for clarifying that question is our conversation yesterday at our meeting, our Invest in Wilmer meeting, the intent was to be able to pay for Robbins Island project with cash. And in essence, there will be no local option sales tax dollars available for the Robbins Island project. Am I correct in stating that?
Yeah, that's how the discussion went. And the reason I said it was probably not feasible to do was because we, in essence, would have to wait all of 2020 and all of 2021 to be able to pay cash for Robbins Island to occur in 2022. And my expectations are is that everybody wants these projects to be going before 2-3 years, they want them completed. We can capture all the money we can in the next 14 years, but that means we don't have the event center. That means we don't have, you know, if you want to pay cash, it means you're not going to do the project. So if all you're going to do is collect money, you know, let's say the first year to pay off the architects, great. And then you're going to capture $2 million to pay for Robbins Island. That gets you to December, January, February of 2022 before you could, you know, bid it and start construction in the spring of 2022. So if you're willing to do that, you can save all the sales tax money and wait. But I think most all the committee, the Invest in Wilmot committees would be really depressed that if we said, here's the sequence of projects we're going to do, and oh, by the way, the recreation fields are going to be out 14 years. That would depress me. I'm just letting you know.
No, I asked that question though because it was my understanding, and I think it's a different mindset for us to think about as a council, because we had talked about not financing Robbins Island, but financing the other project. And so what we're hearing is that is a different statement right now. And so it makes a difference with what we're going to be able to finance, is my thought. So that's why I'm just clarifying the information that you were giving us, and just acknowledging the amounts that will need to be paid to the architects and to the other, and that we will have to look at Robbins Island as a separate project to be financed. And I think that's a question that the council has to face with whether that's something we can handle or not. So I hear you loud and clear what you're saying. Just needed to clarify that information. So Andrew, you wanted to ask a question?
If I could, thank you. And Brian, I love you for talking about paying for things with cash. And you're exactly right on the money when you talk about the separate committees, when they hear about, you know, which projects might go for, everybody wants their project to go first. And I get that. However, I do also think that there's something to be said for if we are going to do some of them with cash and we are going to finance others, I don't think we should do it sporadically. I think it makes more sense to try to do entire projects as opposed to bits and pieces of each individual project, because that's just going to make it all the more confusing. And then we have all these projects left in all these weird stages of construction. It just doesn't make sense. And I would, like, you know, like you alluded to, the committee members, they don't like hearing that another project might go before theirs. But I really think that's the wise thing to do, that if we are going to plan to pay for something with cash and we can, then let's go ahead and let's do it. And let's make sure that we can do it in its entirety so that we don't have a whole bunch of piecemeal projects at all different stages. And then if we're going to finance others, then let's go ahead and do others. But and now I'd be anxious to hear other people's thoughts regarding doing projects to completion as opposed to bits and pieces.
Go ahead, Brian.
Yeah, I'm all for, you know, doing a project and moving on. But I think the first reality I want to, you know, put on the table is that if we are capturing about $2 million a year, and if I'm correct that we were talking about paying this off, you know, in 14 years, $2 million a year at 14 years is $28 million, and we've got $30 million worth of projects here. So there's a problem. Now, you could insert, say, well, the economy is going to pick up, and if you look at past history, and I know this to be true because it's happened in other cities that I've worked in, is that over a period of 15 years, you see just inflation. Things go up, the cost of things go up, the tax goes up because of that. And so having $2 million a year flat for 14 years is not reasonable. But I'm just saying, as an example, if you have what we're receiving right now and went flat, we don't have enough money. So we're really betting that inflation over the next 14 years carries us above the line so we can pay the interest on the debt that we're, you know, going to incur. And that's the part I think that Steve and our financial advisors need to work out. What is that projected line? Is there enough money coming in, you know, based on past history? And can we afford to do $30 million worth of projects the way we want to? And that information then should come back, you know, obviously to the city council to make financial decisions.
Go ahead, Steve.
To that comment, and Brian is aware of this, that we have been having those conversations on different scenarios that we would be possibly encountering as far as issuing debt and structuring those so that there aren't even equal payments, and that we would end load the debt service so that it would somewhat parallel the collection and the inflation area, as Brian alluded to. The other comment I would have is that, just so that the council and the committee is aware, that with the memo that came out from the Department of Revenue and was forwarded to the committee and the council, with the delay of the payment for retailers to May 20th, that actual numbers for March and April, which is basically the 2 months where the shutdown occurred and the COVID-19 is really going to have an impact, actual numbers for us will not really be available if they delay their payments until May 20th, until the month of June, if not July. So that would be probably when we will actually be able to realize the impacts of the shutdown and the COVID-19 on the collection of sales taxes, probably the month of July, optimistically, if it does not continue past May 4th.
Other questions? Rick, do you have any questions? Julie? All right. Our next item listed on here is project financing timing and continuance. Go ahead, Steve.
Audrey, I believe that we would have covered that, or intended to cover that, when Doug was on the meeting. Unless there's additional questions by council members or the committee members.
Go ahead, Andrew.
Thank you. Yeah, I was listening particularly closely when he was talking about the $1 million, $2 million municipal bonds for infrastructural projects, obviously because of public works. And I think it sounded as though he had optimistic views on those and on our bonding capabilities regarding those. Do you foresee our street projects for this year being impacted, and if so, how much?
Audrey, I can comment.
Go ahead, Steve.
I know that what's been proposed is somewhat higher than what the capital improvement program initially had been approved at. The capital improvement program had initially been approved at $2 million. Of assessable type work and $1 million of state aid money. That $1 million would not have to be bonded for, because that comes from the state of Minnesota. So, and I'm not sure, I don't remember where the level that went to public works was approved at. So I think it was up in the $4 million range, which there's a gap of about $1 million that I think still needs to have some discussion on.
Yeah, Audrey.
Go ahead, Brian.
Yeah. As I alluded to in my correspondents talking about the local option sales tax revenue stream and expenses. You know, recreation, I'll probably be swimming upstream on this one, but recreation comes second. A primary job is to have roads and bridges and, you know, curb and gutter and stuff like that installed. So I personally don't think we're going to have a problem with the actual street projects. I think they can be sold because they're, as stated earlier, they're basically GO backed, they're GO bonds, and everybody likes them because the full faith and credit of the community is behind you. So they know they're going to get their money. That's a short story. And then on top of that, the only question I guess that's left up to the council would be is, because in order to do the GO bonds, 20% have to be special assessed, and then you're not subject to, you know, referendum and all the other things that happen. So the question for the council at some point in time is, are the economics that are going to be placed upon the citizens due to these street projects, are they going to be so onerous during this time period that you don't want to special assess and put that hardship upon them? If you do, then those projects can't occur. And that'll knock out $2 million worth of projects, which reduces your whole capital improvement project. So there are decisions that are going to have to be made, you know, based upon what happens in the next couple of months. And maybe, you know, we aren't going to have all the information we'd love to have. But if you want the projects, they can be done. If you're going to make considerations for, you know, the economics of your community and how this situation is hurting some people, and can they pay the taxes, and can they pay now the special assessments we're going to levy, that's a decision you'll have to have an answer for at some point.
And if I could just add to that, the other items of consideration that the council will be having to consider when we talk about the items Brian talked about is that in order to pay for that portion that is not assessed, if the council decides to go that route, again, the economics will definitely play a factor in your decision. But the other portion that isn't paid from assessments is paid from interest earnings and the $4 fee that the council definitely wanted to have discussions on realigning that $4 and not having it as in the utilities. And that discussion will have to take place as well.
Thank you. I think, Brian, some of the comments that you made as it relates to streets take me back to our local option sales tax projects and what we can afford to do, you know, and looking at long-term, the additional operational costs and some of those types of things. And so I think we do need to make sure that we get good information when it relates to bonding and what commitments we are making for our community. Before we make decisions on either side of those of that coin, so with the bonding in general. So anybody else have any other questions regarding this? All right, hearing none, our next item says miscellaneous. Is there anything else that we want to talk about as it relates to that? I don't see anyone wanting to make any additional comments. Future agenda items, Steve, do you have any comments about those, or are we good with just leaving them as is for now?
You'll see there that the if the council has requests or information from staff, and please let Brian know, and he can direct it to the right staff members. I mean, that's what we're here for, is these are trying times for us all, and that we will do our best to provide whatever the council needs as far as information in order to make some of these tough decisions. I see Brian's got his mic on. I'll stop with that.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Brian.
Before we adjourn, I just want to you know, note that we're all probably aware of it, but, you know, the governor extended the stay-at-home order for an additional 3 weeks. And although the intent was for staff to come back on the 13th and we would all gear up and get back to work and everything would be normal. I had a conversation with the mayor and he said, I'll see you on the 13th. And I went, ooh, after I hung up, I went, you know, I probably should have said, yeah, except for we got another 3 weeks. So I just want to alert everybody that we'll be continuing to utilize our electronic meetings. People working at remote will continue to work remote. Those that are going to work, like our police and fire and our public works, will continue to do that. We did open up the brush site for those people that were looking for something to do with all this nice fair weather, and they cleaned up their yards and they're going, oh, now where can I put my stuff? So on the 11th, on Saturday, we'll get that started and we'll open it up. Instead of 3 days a week, it'll be 6 days a week the first week, so we can hopefully spread the people out over longer periods of time, so we don't bunch up and have, you know, 300 people trying to dump stuff off at the same time. So just a reminder of where we find ourselves, and that everything's been pushed off until May 4th.
Thank you, Brian. Anybody else have any other comments? Go ahead, Rick.
So I heard on the radio Wilmer Fest is canceled for this year. So do they still get the money from the city, or are we holding it and then they'll get more next year then? Because that's when they're going to celebrate the 75 years. Has anyone thought about that yet?
Steve's got his hand up here. We'll let Steve talk.
Audrey, Judy happened to mention or ask me about that same question this afternoon after their meeting, and I told her that would have to be a question given to Brian and directed to the council to have those discussions. So they actually have received the dollars because they were in the planning stages. And so Brian, I'm sure, will be having discussions with Judy on that exact topic.
All right, thank you. Andrew, any other comments?
I was going to keep my mouth shut, but since you invited me, I'm not in favor of doing away with Wilmer Fest this year. It's my favorite week of the year, and that's it.
Julie, any words of wisdom? Julie's shaking her head. No, I'm just going to say thank you to everyone. I know that information is coming to us fast and furious right now, and I want to thank staff for doing a good job with getting information to us as soon as we can. We've got some tough decisions ahead of us, and so the information and the detail I'm appreciating. And so I'll just say thank you to everyone right now for their efforts, and I will look for a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
All right. Thank you, Julie. We will be adjourned. Thanks.
Thank you, everybody. Good night.
Good night.